Hello, pals o' mine. So I thought I'd do something different this week because it's my favorite time of the year, fall. Love the fall. The energy is just different. Not just visually with the turning of the leaves, it's just different. People feel a little more relaxed, like you know you're on a long recess because the summer has ended and the holidays aren't quite here yet. So I was attending this 5K run, attending, not participating. I hike, I do not run. So I had this idea that I would just ask random people there, kids and adults, for a joke. And it's funny how many times someone would say, oh, I've got a lot of jokes. Just can't think of one right now. Here's one for me to get this started. Patty is stressed out because he's late for a meeting and he can't find a parking spot. He says, Lord, if you find me a parking spot, I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life and I'll never touch another drop of Irish whiskey. Miraculously, a spot opens up. Never mind, I found one. So, as I said, I heard jokes at the 5K run, and kids and adults alike told jokes. And there is a joke told by a biology student. See if you can spot it. Next, a store clerk who happened to also engage in improv. And finally, a couple of brothers who lobbed jokes back and forth. Now, at the 5K run, a bit of a breeze kicked in periodically, so the audio isn't great throughout, but you'll get the idea. There are bad puns, riddles, and they range from G to risque. So if you're easily offended, skip over to the National Park section.
Okay, there's these kids. They're in class, and the teacher's going around talking to everybody, saying, hey, everybody, you know, did anything interesting happen over the weekend? So Johnny raises his hand and says, yeah, a car hit my dog in the ass. And now the teacher says, whoa, Johnny, now you know better. You're not supposed to say ass. You say rectum. Rectum? The damn car nearly killed him.
But I'm bummed.
How many tickles does it take to tickle an octopus?
I give up. How many?
Tentacles. Tentacles.
That's a good one. Why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9... Ah!
Sounds like the number one thing on the mind.
There was a pretzel walking down the street and it was assaulted.
That's a good one.
I got one. Why did the orange roll halfway down the hill and stop? Because it ran out of juice.
What did one sister cell say to the other sister cell when she stepped on her toe? Mitosis. Why are single women skinnier than married women? Because single women look at the fridge, then go to bed. Married women look at the bed, then go to the fridge.
What do you call a bear with no teeth? A gummy bear.
So two snakes are slithering along in the forest, and one snake turns to the other snake and says, hey, Bob, are we poisonous? And Bob goes, yeah, of course we're poisonous. Why? And the other snake goes, I just bit my tongue. How do you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it. How do you catch a tame rabbit? Tame way, unique up on it.
I like that one. What did the firefly say to the other? You glow, girl.
I told my mom that I was going to make a car out of spaghetti. She looked at me as I moved pasta.
So why couldn't the witch have babies? Because her husband had a Halloweenie.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why? It's a mystery.
I know why.
Why?
To get to the other side. Oh. Why did the dog cross the road?
Why?
Because he had to go to the other side.
Oh.
Why did the chicken cross the playground? To get to the other slide.
Oh, good one.
What did the bee say to the flower? Hi, honey.
Hey, Jerry, did you know that diarrhea is hereditary?
Did not know that.
It runs in your genes.
What did the chicken say when it walked into the library?
It's the library?
Yeah.
What?
Book, 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 book.
Welcome back. Here's a good one. Why is it so hard to explain puns to kleptomaniacs? Because they take everything literally. I ran into this guy the other day. You're not gonna believe this. He had this giant orange head. Okay, and he I was so baffled. I was shocked by, you know, you don't see people with giant orange heads normally. It's not a common thing. So I asked him, I said, what happened to you? I wanted to hear his life story. And he said that he found this genie lamp and he rubbed it and the genie came out and he said the genie said you can have 3 wishes, and the man's first wish was for a giant mansion. And so the genie snaps his fingers, and he said that sure enough, the man, you know, was given a giant mansion right here in the city, you know. And for his second wish, he said he wanted $1 billion. And rest assured, the genie snapped his fingers, and the man was given $1 billion. And I said, well, so far, it sounds like you're doing pretty well. And the man said, well, my third wish, I think this is where I screwed up. I think this is where I made my mistake. Is that I wish for a giant orange head. Alright, that's the end of that joke. The joke about the pencil that broke in half, there was no point. This is a chemistry joke. The guy walks into a bar, and he asks the bartender if they have any sodium hydride, and the bartender says, nah. A guy walks into a bar, and he orders three shots of tequila, and the bartender says, He serves him with 3 shots of tequila. He drinks them all. And the bartender goes, what's the occasion? He goes, well, I just had my first blowjob. And the bartender goes, really? Well, would you like another one, you know, to celebrate? And he goes, if 3 didn't do the trick, I don't think the 4th is going to take the taste out of my mouth. All right, a man is sitting at a bar. And he's just sitting there, you know, drinking his beer. And another man walks in and sits down, says, bartender, I'll have a shot of vodka. Bartender goes, here you go. Drinks the shot, jumps out the window. Like 4-story bar, it's really high. And everybody's standing there kind of shocked. And a couple minutes later, the guy walks back in, like totally unharmed. He says, bartender, I'll have another shot of vodka. Takes another shot, jumps out the window again, right? You'd think by this time, he would have tested his luck enough, but sure enough, a couple minutes later, he comes back in perfectly fine. And finally, the first guy sitting at the bar looks at him and goes, bartender, what are you doing? Like, what, aren't you worried you're going to hurt yourself? He goes, nah, it's fine. You should try it. And so the first guy goes, fine. All right. He says, I'll take a shot of vodka. He drinks the shot, jumps out the window, and never comes back because he died from jumping out the window. And the bartender looks at the second guy. He goes, Mr. Kent, I'm going to have to ask you to stop tricking people into jumping out the window. The other day, I finally convinced my girlfriend to have a 3-way with me. And she said, that's fine as long as I get to pick the woman. And I said, yeah, I can agree with that as long as I get to pick the other one. The other day, somebody asked me what my view on lesbians was. I said, usually in HD. A guy's driving down a country road, okay, and he looks down. He's driving past all these farms, you know, and he looks out into this one farm and he sees a guy having sex with a sheep. And he's just appalled, just absolutely disgusted. So he pulls over to the next house and he walks in, he slams on the door, and he goes, like a little kid opens the door and he goes, son, is your father home? I need to speak with the owner of this house. I just saw something very appalling. And the kid looks and he goes, yeah, just one second. And he turns back in the house and he goes, dad! I don't know. You want to hear some impressions? I can do some impressions. Yeah. All right. There's a really common one a lot of people like to hear. It's Christopher Walken. He talks... I heard once that when he gets a script, he erases all the punctuation out of it and just starts from scratch. But then also when he gets excited, his voice, it goes up like this. Maybe you weren't expecting to get such a famous guest today. If you have any questions for me, I'm working on this one. I'm not sure if it's that good yet, but this is supposed to be Morgan Freeman. He's talking about penguins. He really enjoys watching them travel the 3,000 miles from their home on the coast of Antarctica to further inland in Antarctica, where they breed. They lay their eggs. Many people don't know that the penguins actually evolved from mer people that were deep in the oceans that wandered onto land. Their tails evolved into feet and eventually became penguins. That's why they're the most magical of all creatures. The great emperor penguin. I don't know if you might be interested in this, but I actually did just get a recording of like a secret. It's like a special edition of The Dark Knight Rises, and it's one of the cast commentaries. I've actually got the recording right here. I'll just push play.
Hello, welcome to the special edition director's cast commentary for The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, this is Bane.
This is Batman.
Now, we came here today to discuss some of our favorite parts of this movie.
A lot of people don't know this, but just because we fight a lot in the movie doesn't mean that we don't get along in real life. For instance, during this scene here where Alfred is telling me that he's no longer going to continue to be my butler, I was actually very relieved.
Yes. That's because Michael Caine is actually a huge dick in real life.
It's true. Michael Caine used to sneak into my trailer all the time, and he'd just steal my food for no reason and leave really offensive and hateful messages and spray paint on the wall of my trailer.
He made me cry once. It's not hard to make a member of the League of Shadows cry like a little baby. I trained for years, taking fear toxin poisons, just to be able to resist the threats of psycho-terrorism. But Michael Caine, he's so mean.
It's true. The guy's a jerk.
All right, so I used to work at this grocery store.
This is a true story.
This is, I swear to God, this actually happened to me. You're not even, it's so bizarre. I used to work at this grocery store, and this, one night this woman came in, and she was, she had this blanket swaddled up. And my first thought was, because we had a lot of cats out in the parking lot of this particular grocery store, that she had hit a cat and swaddled it up and brought it into the store for some reason. So like an idiot, I went up and I asked her, I said, is everything okay? Is there anything I can help you with? And she said, yeah, do you guys have a lot of bats around here? And I thought to myself, like, cats? Or did she say cats or bats with a B? And then, of course, you have to think, is she talking about the flying animal bats or, for some reason, a baseball bat? Because it could be either one. So she says that she's walking into the store and a bat had fallen out of the sky in front of her, and she had picked it up with a blanket and brought it into the store for whatever reason and wanted to know if we could call animal control. And I was like, you got to get out of here. Like, that thing could have rabies. It could be like something else worse, the plague. I don't know. So I told her she had to leave and thought she had taken off at that point. But later in the night, I'm telling the story to a customer that had come through. And he looks at me and he's like, yeah, what a crazy person. And I was like, yeah, what fucking crazy, you know? And I just out of the side, I hear, you know, I'm standing right here and I look over and it's her. And for some reason, she was still there. And I just heard me just completely blast her for being a nut job who brought a flying bat into a grocery store with open produce and all this other stuff.
Did she still have the bat?
No, it was gone. I don't know what she did with it. Hmm. Yeah, it was weird.
Not good customer relations.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of people wouldn't expect there to be so much, like, insanity in a grocery store. Because, you know, you go there for, like, an hour a day, maybe once a week. But then when you work there, it's just constant, you know. People are just absolutely insane.
That'd be good, an ebook for you to write. I worked in a grocery store.
Yeah, I worked at a grocery store. I saw a guy get beat up once because he didn't know why the self-checkout lights were different from the regular checkout lights. And this guy beat him up.
For asking the question?
No, he employed up for not knowing the answer. Right? He was cracked out. The cops found him like 10 minutes later, like wandering the streets.
Okay, there's two blondes, and they're
One's on each side of the river. And the one blonde wants to go to the other side of the river, so she yells across at the other blonde, "How do you get to the other side of the river?" And the other blonde on the other side of the river thought for a moment, and then she yelled back, "You are on the other side."
Okay. Horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Why the long face?"
Okay. This old Jewish couple were in the dark having sex. And the husband says to the wife, he goes, "You know, Helen, you got a tight box, but you don't have tits." And she goes, "Merv, get off my back."
In my continuing celebration of national parks, I'm heading over to the Devil's Tower National Monument in Wyoming. Moviegoers will recognize this iconic rock from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. The story behind the name involves a Colonel Dodge's translator who misinterpreted the name to mean Bad God's Tower, which obviously was later shortened to Devil's Tower. However, local tribe names include Bear Teepee and Bear Lodge. One tribal legend involving the tower is this one, shared in 1897 by a Kiowa soldier. Before the Kiowa came south, they were camped on a stream in the far north, where there were a great many bears, many of them. One day, seven little girls were playing at a distance from the village and were chased by some bears. The girls ran toward the village, and the bears were just about to catch them when the girls jumped on a low rock about 3 feet high. One of the girls prayed to the rock, "Rock, take pity on us. Rock, save us." The rock heard them and began to grow upwards, pushing the girls higher and higher, and when the bears jumped to reach the girls, they scratched the rock, broke their claws, and fell on the ground. The rock rose higher and higher. The bears still jumped at the girls until they were pushed up into the sky, where they now are, seven little stars in a group, the Pleiades. In the winter, in the middle of the night, the seven stars are right over this high rock. When the people came to look, they found the bear's claws turned to stone all around the base. No Kiowa living has ever seen this rock, but the old men have told about it. It is very far north where the Kiowa used to live. It is a single rock with scratched sides. The marks of the bear's claws are there yet, rising straight up, very high. There was no other like it in the whole country. There are no trees on it, only grass on top. The Kiowa call it a tree rock. The tower's summit is approximately 1.5 acres, about the size of a football field. The tower itself is popular with rock climbers, the first dating back to the 1800s, when two local ranchers used a wooden ladder. Early rock climbers left an indelible scar, but climbers today leave little trace of their ascents, relying on their strength and safety equipment designed to be removable and non-damaging. However, the tower is obviously considered a sacred site by local tribes, and climbing is perceived as a desecration. Therefore, the June voluntary climbing closure was put into effect to promote understanding and encourage respect for Native American culture. Climbers are asked to voluntarily refrain from climbing the tower and hikers from scrambling within the inside of the Tower Trail Loop during the month of June. This voluntary request has resulted in an 80% reduction of climbers for June, which restores my faith in humanity. By the way, the month of June was selected because that's when many tribal ceremonies occur. Do something different. Have breakfast for dinner.